welcome to Big Blue Hits Live, presented by Hess. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Oben. We'll be here for the next half hour to take your phone calls. Also, Anita Marks will join us and talk about some fantasy football. Our number is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. As the Giants continue preparations to face the San Diego Chargers out in California on Saturday. 5-7 teams, Roman. And let's get right to the Adorama news of the day. And the Giants get two defensive backs who work some at practice today, Corey Webster and Trumaine McBride. And against a guy like Phillip Rivers, that could be a good thing.
Yeah, you need all hands on deck when you're going against a guy like Phil Rivers. He's a very accurate passer, and he throws to anybody who's open. So whatever we can get out of those two guys would be helpful on Sunday.
You know, when you look at the post-practice injury list with the Giants, it's been relatively shrinking over the course of the weeks. They're a relatively healthy team. Unfortunately, JPP is still on it.
Well, you're looking at the graphic. I mean, you have limited participation guys at the bottom. You hope Trumaine Bride could go and maybe something out of Corey Webster. Terrell Thomas, as you know, usually sits out certain parts to manage the week. But with the other guys, it's day-to-day, you know, whether it's a groin, you know, what have you. It's day-to-day, and you just hope each day, especially get on that plane. You know, fans have to understand, getting on that 6.5-hour flight, as a guy who's had to deal with some injuries, your joints start to swell and things like that. So that could be a factor for some guys that may not make a decision if they're going to go or not until game day.
Now, you saw on that injury list, there is no longer Hakeem Nicks listed, even though he's coming off of that abdominal strain. You did see a new name in Brandon Myers, the tight end, coming off of a sore groin. We'll talk more about him in just a second. But I want to go back to JPP for just a second, Roman, because this is a guy right now who appears to be out indefinitely. They don't seem to have any answers in terms of a timetable for him coming off of the shoulder injury. And, you know, he says he's trying, but he just doesn't know when.
The only thing I can do right now is take it day by day, you know, and, you know, continue to come in and get treatment, you know, twice daily, and rehab it. But as far as playing, I can't really tell you, you know, when I'm going to play. But like I said, I'm just taking it day by day.
Now, the deal with JPP is that he has some type of shoulder injury. The Giants and the player are not being specific about it. But, Roman, obviously, when you're a lineman, you need to be able to have full mobility and strength in your shoulder.
Yeah, you need to just be able to get in a stance. You need to be able to shed blocks and all those things. And really, I'm not diagnosing the injury, but it's either has to be a rotator or labrum or an AC joint. There's only three things it can be in the shoulder. But, you know, JPP a month ago said, look, I'm not 100%. Then he had that great game against Dallas with the interception, the pick six, and then he gets injured again. So, you know, I would like to think he's the guy that wants to be in there because of the personal pride factor. He, coming into the season, was the best D lineman on the team. So he's got some pride. He said he's been working hard. It is a little embarrassing as a player when you're not, you're walking up and down the hallways eating lunch, knowing you may or may not play on Sunday. There's a lot of uncertainty there, but this defensive line and the defense as a whole is better with JPP close to 100%.
Once again, our phone number is 201-939-4513. So then the big question that needs to be asked, Roman, and as you know with the Giants, the medical staff has the final say. Should he continue to try to get back and play, given the fact that the playoff possibilities are virtually out the door?
Well, Paul, obviously, this isn't, you know, the Green Bay Packers or Aaron Rodgers quarterback situation. But I think the Giants are looking at this game by game. Every game you try to go into it with an attitude of wanting to win and wanting to get your best guys healthy. And that's going to go all the way to week 17. So I don't think it's a situation where, unless there's a severity of this injury that hasn't been reported, that they are keeping under wraps, I think there's a situation where they're going to just try to go day by day, week by week, hoping he can play Sunday or maybe the next home game, the next game. So that's what Giants fans and obviously want, but I think coaching staff, training staff, and the players in that locker room, that's what they hopefully expect, that he could get something out of this season.
Well, there is some expectation that tight end Brandon Myers is going to practice tomorrow on his sore groin and then, of course, be available for the Chargers game. Now, that's important because over the last 2 weeks, Brandon Myers has caught a touchdown pass in each of those games and appears to finally be inserting himself as a key part of this offense.
You know, earlier on in the year, the guys on the outside were catching quite a bit of balls and, you know, getting on the same page like we've talked about, and things start clicking, you know, the last few weeks.
Now, in the last three games, there have been 15 targets to Brandon Myers, second on the team to Victor Cruz. He's caught 13 of those 15 targets, and as we mentioned, two key touchdown passes over the last 2 weeks. So, Roman, what is happening all of a sudden that he's becoming more involved, and how important is it?
Well, I think the fact that he's catching 13 out of 15 these last 2 weeks means there's some trust with Brandon Myers and Eli Manning. You obviously have a good running game. They've been running the ball well. You've simplified things a little bit. And then you look at these numbers. You know, Brandon Myers is on a pace to probably catch over 50 balls. There was some criticism that was justified. The interception against the Bears game. I hope to go back to that. I hate to go back to that. And that stumble in that Denver game, we just fell on the ground. You say, maybe this guy isn't getting it. Remember, 80 balls last year. He was the only thing the Raiders had.
Right.
But this year, I think Brandon Myers is really settling down and hoping that he can be that guy. I mean, you don't want a one-year tight end every single year in this offense.
Yeah, very sure. Okay, Roman, let's go to the calls. And John from Connecticut, you're on Big Blue Hits. Hello.
Will Corey Webster be returning this week?
Well, that's interesting. Roman, this is a guy who's been hampered by injuries throughout the whole course of the season. First, it was a groin. Then it was an ankle. And even though he's been at practice off and on the last couple of weeks, they don't seem to really know when he's going to be available.
Well, obviously, I think there's – I talk about this with JPP. There's a personal pride factor when you're walking up and down the hallways and you're not really a part of what's going on. And, you know, guys want to play. Guys want to be in there. And if you're not medically cleared, the way this organization works, if you're not medically cleared to play by the medical staff, not if the coach says you can go, if you're not medically cleared by the medical staff, you won't go. And that's something this organization sticks to, and that's something they believe in.
Well, and then finally, Brandon Jacobs, who's been on again and off again because of a knee injury, does believe he's going to practice tomorrow, thinks it's a good shot that he'll play. And that's really a dilemma for Tom Coughlin, too, because do you address Hillis, do you address Jacobs, do you address them both?
Well, I think it's good that you have both options. And obviously this, you know, 9 carries for 75 yards that Brandon Jacobs had against the Dallas Cowboys was when he's at his best, you know, goal line, the short yard situations. And when there's a hat on the hat, you know that he can get in there and get it done. But again, I talk about what Peyton Hillis brings to the table. At least you have two options. Physical, big running backs can attack the line of scrimmage. You know, that run that Peyton Hillis had, I mean, he's a downhill guy. And, again, that flight could be a difference in whether or not Brandon Jacobs plays on Sunday if his joints swell up.
Okay, we still got our phone lines open, 201-939-4513, if you'd like to talk Giants football. We'll be back to more Big Blue Hits right after this.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants!
There you go.
Welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. Our phone number, 201-939-4513. Well, Roman, we have to talk about the offensive line because, as we said last week, it had been juggled and shuffled for the sixth time during the course of this season. And now, once again, they're going to be able to put the same line out 2 weeks in a row, a rarity around these parts.
Right.
That means James Brewer is going to be starting again at left guard and Kevin Booth is going to be starting at center.
Well, I've said this in the past. You know, when you get to the final cut to the beginning of the season, you want to keep 9 or 10 of those guys that you hope, you know, the starters should be healthy and play. But you get to players 6 through 9, the Brewers and the Cordles and guys like that. I mean, those are the guys that should be expected to play. I think Brewer's been a guy that he's come and he's fought hard. He's learned how to really be a pro guard this season. I know he moved around a lot in camp, and he's really fighting his butt off. But again, he will get better and better with the reps that he gets, just learning how to play within his body. and also learning how to settle in that position. Maybe left guard will be the position for Buehr in the future, but he can help himself with a good performance week in and week out.
You know, when you talk about versatility, how can you not start with David Deal, who has played every position along the offensive line during his pro career except for center? Now, this year, not only has he helped the Giants by fortifying that line during the second half of the season, he's also been a mentor to first-round pick Justin Pugh.
A guy that week in and week out he spends extra time on learning, making sure he's making improvements, and most importantly, when you're playing next to him at this point, he's not playing like a rookie anymore. He knows the offense. It's not like we have to do calls like we used to, and during the spring ball we're used to playing next to each other. We're accustomed to it, and a lot of credit goes to him.
Now, there were 8 offensive linemen taken in the first round of this spring's draft. Pugh was one of them, Roman. He's had the luxury of starting every game during his rookie season, and I'd say he's graded out well.
Well, there's only one other Giants player to start every game as a rookie, and that's Lawrence Taylor. I'm not making that comparison to Pugh and Taylor, what they bring to the table. But, again, one thing that Pugh has is a willingness to get better, and he's got that tough, gritty fight in him. Technique, he'll get better. He'll get better at recognizing, anticipating before the snap. And he, you know, he's a good athlete. He's not big. He's not a 330-pound guy. So he has to use his technique, bend his knees, and that'll improve. To get those reps as a rookie will only improve his career as he goes on.
Now, how important do you think it was to have a veteran like Chris Snee next to him at the beginning of the season and now Deal next to him later on in the season?
Well, exactly, and I think because Deal's played the position, there's a sort of a soothing element of having a veteran in there next to you. I mean, the block that Deal made on this touchdown, Andre Brown, in his Washington game was phenomenal. It shows that Deal still has something left in the tank. But if you're a rookie, I remember starting at left tackle and having Luke Pettigold playing inside next to me, and I think what that did for him trying to just develop as a rookie, you know, everything's going 1,000 miles an hour, but it's always good to have a veteran next to you just as far as that communication on the line of scrimmage especially.
Our phone number is 201-939-4513. Now, on the other side of the line, Will Beattie's had a tough time. In fact, folks, depending upon whose count you're going by, he may have allowed almost 10 sacks so far this season. He's had some real tough games, including the one in Washington the other night, but he says there's kind of a reason for it.
I want to earn this contract. I want to make sure they know that I'm not just a fluke and I'm going out there just not being me, not being a guy that got me to this contract. And trying to change it mid-season is not really the best to change your footwork, your stance, what you're doing. So it's like trying to change through the season but still prepare for the guy you're going up against, making sure that you know the game plan, you know what's going on.
Now, Will Beattie was sensational in pass protection last season, and that's why the Giants re-upped him to a very bulky contract. And as you can see, it has affected Beattie this year. He admits to changing his style a little bit and feeling some of the pressure of the big money.
Well, I think that's why you do all those OTAs and you work on those things and you punch the backs. You do all that in the offseason. You know, and obviously, on the road, you're going to be laid off the ball. It's just going to happen. You just have to have recognition, awareness, you know, have inside presence. If you're getting a chip from the back and the outside, you know, you can't get beat inside. I think he could play better with his hands. You look at here, he's got his hands outside of the defender. There was a sack in the Vikings game where Jared Allen came right in between his underarm. I mean, he's got to play with his hands inside. He's got to play with knee bend. And that's what's going to help him better as a tackle. There is an adjustment period, but, you know, I think Beattie is a guy, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt because this is his first year, you know, starting with a contract. But it's his fifth year in the league, and there's going to be more expected of him at the left tackle position. You're protecting Eli Manning, Paul. You've got to be at your best every single down.
And the interesting part about it is, Roman, so many people have said, well, why don't you move him to right tackle? But right tackle is usually the boxcar, the power-type tackle on your team. You can be a finesse tackle at left tackle because of the pass protection. But the right tackle spot is usually where your power running game is, and you need to be forceful, and you got to have a good punch. That's not really the kind of player Beattie is, right?
Well, I think a lot of people say this word, finesse tackle, but you can be an athletic tackle who's a technician who's not a grit or a grinder. I mean, those are reserved for, like you said, the right tackles, the right guards, the centers. But again, Beattie is he said he's not going to improve his technique in the middle of the season, but I think it's really the mindset that has to improve. And as an offensive lineman, you got to have pride. You don't want to get embarrassed. You want to, you know, let your you want to be able to trust the other guys or have them have trust in you. And he's got to go back in there and do it. They're not going to make any changes midseason or actually third quarter of the season now, fourth quarter. So he's got to just continue to get better and improve. I expect a lot out of Will Beatty at that left tackle position.
And then finally, one final word about the line. How can we not say anything about Kevin Booth? The guy has done everything for this team. And quite frankly, Tom Coughlin says time and time again, he's a pro and they're glad to have him.
Well, he's a pro and he's a lifesaver, so to speak. I mean, not too many guys can play center and guard at the same time. And with the injuries, I mean, Booth has been tremendous this season.
All right, Roman, when we come back, we're going to put a little bit of a hold on the phone calls because it's time for Fact or Fiction. Roman and I with a little Giants games when we return after this.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Welcome back to Big Blue Hits presented by Hess. Our phone number, if you want to talk fantasy football with Anita Marks in a couple of minutes, 201-939-4513. But Roman, it is time for Fact or Fiction, one of our favorite segments of the show. And, you know, Danny Woodhead, who's had a terrific season for the Chargers, well, we're being asked, will lead all players in receptions on Sunday. Roman, you're up first.
Well, I'm going to say fiction. You know, Danny Woodhead is a safe haven, if you will, for Phil Rivers, and he's been that Darren Sproles-esque, you know, role. But, again, Phil Rivers in this offense, he throws the ball whoever's open. So unless you're targeting checkdowns, I mean, that's going to be a bad thing. Actually, if he catches all those balls, that'll be a good thing for the defense. That means everybody else is covered. So yeah, I'm going to say fiction.
I'm going to go fact because I do think that that's part of what the San Diego Chargers are. There are a lot of checkdown stuff. They don't have a powerful running game. It's pretty good, but not great. And they're not necessarily slinging the ball downfield as much anymore. Woodhead has 61 catches, leads all NFL running backs in that category. All right, it's time for fact or fiction question number two. There will be 4 combined sacks in the game on Sunday.
I'm going to say fact because I think those sacks are going to come on the Giants' side. I think they're going to stuff the running game again. I think they're going to have a plan for Woodhead. And when you make Phil Rivers, you know, pump and get a little muddled, he's not very mobile at all. I blocked for him. Phil Rivers isn't very mobile. And I think that pass rush will start to get to him if they disrupt his timing in the downfield.
All right. I'm going to go for fiction because I just think there are going to be too many short passes in this game, Roman. And, you know, when you're talking about getting rid of the ball quickly, which is something the Giants have done more of lately, and Phillip Rivers has done throughout the season, you then lessen the opportunities for sacks. All right. Number three. Hakeem Nicks and Reuben Randall will have more catches than Antonio Gates and Laradius Green. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction. I think, obviously, Antonio Gates will probably get 6-7 catches. He's got, I think, 64, leading all NFL tight ends. Green is a little bit of an anomaly. He's a great athlete. He's really just learning now in his second year. But I think on the Giants side, I mean, you have a system that's in place for Hakeem Nicks and Reuben Randall to succeed. And, Paul, everyone knows, and everyone on the Giants side of things are rooting for Knicks to have a breakout game. Will it be Sunday? We hope so.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go fiction on this one, Roman, and I think it's simply because I think the Giants are going to try to run the ball a lot more. Once again, last week they only had like 80 yards rushing as a team, but I do think they're going to try to get that going against this Chargers team. And I do think that if Brandon Myers looks like he's going to play, he will be a big component. So that's the way I'm going to go on this one. All right, next up, the Giants and Chargers will combine for 3 or fewer turnovers.
Well, I'm going to say fiction. 3 or fewer turnovers because this game is going to be built on turnovers. I think they're going to be tip balls. You hope none of the turnovers are on the Giants side, but, you know, let's say 1 turnover from the Giants. Hopefully it doesn't make a difference in the game, but I think I'm going to say fiction on that one.
Well, I'm going to go fact on this one, Roman. We're not seeing eye to eye on all of these questions, but I'm going to go fact that we'll be fewer than three turnovers, I think, because I think, first of all, Rivers has only thrown 9 picks all year. He's been real good with the ball, and Eli's only had 3 picks now in the Giants' last 6 games. So the secondaries shouldn't have a lot of fun creating turnovers in this one, so that's why I'm going to go fact. Now, the Giants will have more rushing yards than the San Diego Chargers. Fact or fiction?
Well, I'm going to say fact. I think you're looking at both defensive lines. The Chargers' defensive line has been decimated. You lost Dwight Freeney. You lost Melvin Ingram in camp. Sean Phillips is playing for the Chargers now. I mean, they don't really have a lot at the defensive line position. I think the running game will be better than what the Chargers will do. The Chargers, Paul, I think they'd rather throw a 3-step drop than actually run the ball if that running game starts to get stuffed.
I'm with you 100%, Roman, so I'm going to go fact as well. And I do think, especially if Brandon Jacobs is able to play on Sunday, it will definitely be a fact for the Giants. All right, the Giants and Chargers will combine for more than 50 points on Sunday, Roman. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact. You know, this isn't an Eli Manning, Tony Romo, 60-point expected matchup, but I think what Phil Rivers does, he loves to go downfield. He's very accurate. I think this is a game where Eli gets it going. That defensive backfield of the Chargers is really playing awful this year. They're jumping routes. They're not communicating. So I think there will be some big plays had. 25 points, I think, is the minimum the Giants will score.
You know, I'm going to go fact on this one too, Roman, because I really believe that both of these offenses, especially with these two quarterbacks who both want to do well. Remember, Roman,
right.
It's that 2004 draft day deal. I think they're both going to want to light it up, and I think they will.
Paul, and as you know, I played against the Giants as a Charger in 2005.
Yeah.
That last game when Eli Manning came back home, so to speak, and was getting booed every down. I mean, I think that still energy is still going to be in the stadium against Eli Manning on Sunday.
And before I let you go, Roman, remember, you're a connection now, kind of connected to that trade.
Well, I heard it should be called the Roman Oban trade, not the Eli Manning Rivers trade, but it's going to be an interesting matchup all the way around.
Well, explain that, how that happened.
Well, I was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the time, and an extra draft pick, I think it was a fourth or fifth rounder that the Chargers got, they sent it to Tampa to get me. They ended up trading for Keenan McCardell, had that great draft. Then they got Sean Merriman. The next year, you know, the Chargers wanted O.C. Mignora, and the Giants, Ernie, of course, he wouldn't give him up. Ended up drafting Sean Merriman, who gave him a good couple of, first couple of years. So I will forever be cemented in the Eli Manning Rivers trade of 2004.
So Roman Oban will have a lot of interest in Sunday's game for sure. Roman, always good to see you.
My pleasure, Paul, anytime.
When we come back, Anita Marks and I will talk fantasy football. But in the meantime, Anita had a chance to stop by at the locker of linebacker Spencer Paysinger.
Anita Marks here with linebacker Spencer Paysinger, and getting a lot more playing time as of late. You look good against the Washington Redskins. How do you feel right now?
I feel great. It was kind of a big boy game last week, but just got some treatment. We had a good practice today, so hopefully we'll be able to put a good game going forth.
All right, so you're heading out west. You're taking on the San Diego Chargers, who has a lot of speed on offense, but for whatever reason, and please break it down for us, you guys have done well against speed players on offense.
It's just coming down to your keys. Whenever we know where we're supposed to be, we don't have to think as hard. We feel like we've been hurt in the past trying to think too much. So we have a very simple game plan. So you just got to trust that your players and your coaches will put you in the right position.
All right, let's break down two specific players I'm excited to see you guys go up against. One, running back Danny Woodhead. Definitely an asset in the rushing attack, but more so in the passing game. Mm-hmm. Targeted, the second most targeted player on the San Diego Chargers. How do you counter that?
He's very versatile. So you have to get different looks, different people on him, just so he doesn't get too comfortable against one person to develop his own routes. So for somebody like that can catch the ball in the backfield, line up in the slot, get the ball handed off to him in the backfield, somebody that's that versatile, you're going to have to throw everything at him.
All right, and last but not least, Ladarius Green. This guy's come on the scene the past two games. Get this, folks. He's 6'6", 238, and he runs a 4.4. So how do you defend a tight end who has that type of athletic freak, let's call it freakness?
It is. To somebody that has that size accompanied with speed, it's very special for our offense. A quarterback loves players like that because it provides matchups all across the field, mismatches all across the field. So for us, we're going to have to, like I said, throw different people at them, get different types of leverages on them to hopefully confuse them a little bit.
Fantastic. Well, good luck in San Diego.
All right, thank you.
And thanks, Anita. The aforementioned Anita Marks joins us. 10 playoff teams of her 12 fantasy football leagues.
How about that? And no hat today.
No hat today.
No hat.
But now
Sorry.
We get to see your beautiful hair.
Oh.
Hey, we just got word that Jay Cutler of the Chicago Bears will not play against Dallas coming up on Monday, and that is a real big headline for anyone who plays fantasy.
It is. It is. It's tremendous because you've got a Dallas Cowboys team who's giving up the most, 35 on average, 35 fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks. And Jay Cutler's not playing. Are you kidding me? Josh McCown, who will be starting for the Chicago Bears, very well at the end of the season, could be the best free agent pickup in fantasy football this season if he could put up all those points against the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, if you want to give Anita a call, it's 201-939-4513. Now, I understand this is the beginning of the playoffs in fantasy football.
Yes.
And then week 16 is the championship week.
That is correct.
So now I need to ask you, as we start picking out guys who you want and don't want on your fantasy team, how do you look at the regular season standings and guys like Seattle who may or may not have meaningful games the rest of the way?
Well, typically what I like to do, I like to look at the last 4 weeks in regard to what defenses are offering up in fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. We're going to get those laundry list of names of players that I feel are going to have favorable matchups the next 3 weeks that you want on your roster and you want to play. But, yeah, really the only team that you have to be careful of right now is the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
If they win their next two games, week 14 and 15, they very well could sit their players in week 16, which is against the Arizona Cardinals. So right now, Larry Fitzgerald is a horrible play for your championship in week 16. But if the Seattle Seahawks, they rest their star players, Larry Fitzgerald becomes an amazing start for week 16 in your championship season.
Yeah, conversely, like the Seattle defense would be a terrible play then too.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now, exactly. One of the guys I saw on your list, and Anita and I put together these lists before about the names who she wants to pick on, RG3. This guy's been hurting, and you think, though, he's got some good matchups ahead, you would take a chance on him.
He does. He's got very favorable matchups. RG3, granted, yes, he has not been playing his best football, but he's still putting up a good 18, 19, 20 fantasy football points for fantasy football owners. Joe Flacco has got great matchups coming up, and guess what? He possibly, all indications, is getting his tight end back, Dennis Pitta. Mm. Also, you've got Alex Smith with favorable matchups. Two quarterbacks you want to try to avoid the next few weeks, Russell Wilson, for a number of reasons that we just discussed, but also bad matchups. And how about Drew Brees going up against the Carolina Panthers twice in the next 3 weeks? That's not good.
I saw on your wide receiver list you had Dwayne Bowe there, a guy who we've talked about a lot during the course of the year.
Yeah, he was pretty much a big disappointment the start of the year, but the chemistry between him and Alex Smith has developed. Some other wide receivers that I really like, Torrey Smith, great matchups. Again, you equate that with Joe Flacco, Dwayne Bowe, Rod Streeter of the Oakland Raiders going up against the Jets this week. That could be a huge sleeper for you. And then, as I said, Larry Fitzgerald, give or take, if Seattle does have all their starters in week 16. But how about Percy Harvin? This is a guy that people went out, drafted, put on their roster, sat on their bench, waiting for this time of the season. His hip is still not 100%, and he's going up against San Francisco, the Giants, and Arizona. So right now is the time to unleash Percy Harvin. Put him back in the waiver wire. Don't play him. He's not going to do anything for you the rest of the year.
Now, of course, the Giants are playing the Chargers this week. They got a couple of tight ends out in San Diego who are real good, but I noticed you had a couple of tight ends on your list who you liked for the final month.
Yes, Delanie Walker, fingers crossed that he's not dealing with any of those after effects with the concussion, that he's going to go. Garrett Graham for the Houston Texans has very favorable matchups. And this week, I'm on the fence. I talked to John Schmelk about this earlier today. Jared Cook for the St. Louis Rams is going up against Arizona, who's given up the most fantasy football points to opposing tight ends. Meanwhile, you've got Jimmy Graham going up against Carolina. I don't know what to do. Schmelk said, definitely start Jimmy Graham. Of course, you want to, you've made it to the big dance. You want to bring the dude who brought you to the dance, who got you there. But Jared Cook has such a great matchup.
We're running out of time. Give me one running back you have to have in the final month.
DeMarco Murray, especially this week going up against the Bears, giving up a ton of fantasy football points. I also like Alfred Morris, MJD, and Eddie Lacy has been terrific all season long.
Folks, she's a winner. Listen to what she says. For Roman Oban and Anita Marks,
Thank
I'm Paul
you.
Dottino. You've been watching Big Blue Hits.
Thank you, Paul.